Once again, I want to say thanks to the children and thanks to Naomi and to the others who worked to make that delightful program possible this morning. Thank you very much. It's especially good to have children around at Christmas time. And I already had that slide up here. There they are. This was some of our gathering. We had our family Christmas yesterday up in Fergus Falls. Christmas is really all about children. It's all about a child. It's all about one unique child. It's about a birth. It's about a baby. Birth always seems to be a miracle. But this birth, the birth of Jesus, was God coming to us, coming to be with us, giving God the Father, giving to us His Son, impacting the world for all of eternity. Well, this is the third week now for us to hear and to welcome the message, the Word of God, as we find it in John chapter 3, verse 16, probably the most well-known verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And today we want to think once again about the fact that God gave His Son and about the matter of believing in Him. I first read this a number of years ago. Is there any place where we can borrow a little boy for three or four years old for the Christmas holidays? We have a nice home and would take wonderful care of him and bring him back safe and sound. We used to have a little boy, but he couldn't stay, and we miss him so when Christmas comes. And it was signed N. Muller. I continue reading from the article. As I read the above appeal in our local newspaper, something happened to me. For the first time since my husband's death, I thought of grief as belonging to someone else. I read and reread the letter to the editor. Some months before, I had received word from Washington that my husband had been killed in the service overseas. Grief-stricken, I had taken my little son and moved back to the tiny village of my birth. I'd gone to work to help support my son, and time had helped to erase a few scars in my heart. But there were special times when the ache would return and loneliness would engulf me. Birthdays, our wedding anniversary, and holidays. This particular Christmas, the old pain was returning when my eyes caught the appeal in the newspaper column. We used to have a little boy, but he couldn't stay, and we miss him so. I too knew what missing was, but I had my little boy. I knew how empty the sparkle of Christmas is unless you see it in the joyous eyes of a child. I answered the appeal. The writer of the letter was a widower who lived with his mother. He had lost his beloved wife and his little son the same year. That Christmas, my son and I shared a joyous holiday with the widower and his mother. Together we found happiness that we doubted would ever return. But the best part is that this joy was mine to keep throughout the years and for each of the Christmases since. You see, the man who wrote the letter months later became my husband. And it's signed Mrs. N. H. Muller. And that appeared in a little book, Chicken Soup for the Christian Soul. Maybe some of you are familiar with the Chicken Soup books. When I read that story, it reminds me of the awesome outcome of the eternal glory that has resulted from God's giving His Son. It was His plan. It was His love. It was His doing. and we are the recipients. And that's what all of this celebration is all about, as we were hearing the children explaining earlier. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Well, let's think first a little bit about giving. We love to give, don't we? We love to give. Most of us would much rather give than receive. And the older you get, the more I think that's the case. I'm not so sure the little children would say that, but the rest of us feel that to be true. The other day, Don and I were writing some checks. We were able to give to some Christian ministries and outreaches and to a couple that we know that have had a really incredibly challenging year. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun to be able to do that. And when we give to those we love to give really nice things. Sometimes they're expensive, and sometimes their value is due to the work and the joy that went into making them. And Grandma Donna has been sewing doll clothes for Kylie and Benna and Maggie, and I laid them out on our king-size bed. And that's the doll clothes that she's been working on with a couple of samples, and the little girls received those yesterday. And it's all about giving, you know? It's wonderful to give. 3 weeks ago, we began with "For God So Loved." And I read a number of quotes about love, and as I read, and there were quite a few of them, but I wanted to save this one for today. You can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. That's kind of neat, isn't it? You can give without loving, but you can never love without giving. Most of you will be giving in the next few days, giving to family, giving to friends, to loved ones, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. It's enjoyable and it's fun to be together, be sharing together. In fact, we made, Don and I and some of the family, we were together. We had our family Christmas yesterday up in Fergus Falls, and some of the family helped out with the project, but we made a little gift for you. Maybe some of you have gotten, it's little, but there's some bookmarks like this, and most of them are bookmarks. There's also some cards. If you'd rather just take a card and have it for your wallet or somewhere to put up. Otherwise, these bookmarks. And can you possibly guess which verse might be on there? I just say 15:13 now. In fact, I often put 15:13 on my signature to emails and so on. I think the real value, I know the real value of this gift to you will be when and if you are reminded of the truth that is there and apply that truth and experience the hope and the joy and the peace that God wants you to have as you trust Him. We put some on the table back there. There's some on the other table over there, and there should be enough for all adults and kids of all ages. So we hope that as you leave today, you'll each take one of those and make reference to that in the days to come. So we love to give, and we give to those we love. And family takes a special place in our hearts and in our giving. So we think about giving. Let's think about God's giving this morning. God's giving. God's giving is incredibly creative. We don't fully understand how creative God's giving is. And we're spending our lives understanding more and more about the creativity of God's giving. He created everything. By His word, God created all there is. Remember the Genesis account? It was good. It was good. And He saw that it was very good when He created people. The other couple weeks ago, I think I've already mentioned this, we were driving outside of town, spent about an hour, went out to 40 and around past the high school and or up toward the high school and came back on 26 and spent about an hour because we had heard there was going to be a meteor shower. And it was a clear night. It was a clear, cold night. But we went out and we just looked, and my goodness, right above there was one star that was really brilliant, but there were stars all over the place, and we saw some different meteors coming down. Not too many, but we did see some of them. And we're reminded of what the psalmist says in 19:1. And then in a message, in a proclamation in Acts 14:15, we read the living God. We read about the living God who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And again in Acts 17:28, For in Him, in God, we live, and we move, and we have our being. It's all wrapped up in the goodness and in the creativity and in the giving of our Creator. James 1:17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. But 3:16 involves another level, another depth of giving. It's costly. It's costly. When we think of giving, we think of those we love. When you love, you want to give. And should someone that we love be in serious trouble, then our giving has no limits. We forget about the cost and about the limits and what's it going to take. We want to do it. If one of our children were in trouble, threatened by disease or by a kidnapper or by a madman, we'd go to any length, wouldn't we? We'd go to any length to help them out. For God so loved the world. The world. The people made in His image, seriously in trouble, dying in their sin. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. He gave His Son. That's the costliness of this gift, His very Son. You think for a moment, if we can... It's challenging. Let's try to think for a moment about the relationship of God the Father and God the Son. As John writes, he speaks of Jesus as the only begotten Son, or as the one and only Son of God. We are God's children because of Jesus. Jesus is the unique Son of God. The relationship of God the Father and God the Son is unique. Jesus is the only begotten, the one and only Son of God. So we read in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Or John 1:18, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, He has made Himself known. The Father and the Son are together sharing glory and love from before time, outside of time, forever. John 17:5, and now Jesus is praying to the Father, and now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. John 17:24, Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. We are limited in our ability to understand the unique relationship between the Father and the Son. The Trinity, the eternity, the glory, all of that just stretches us. But we are glad. We are glad, aren't we, that God knows and God values family relationships like we do. A father and a son loving one another together for all eternity. And this is how God relates to us. He relates to us as a father and speaks to us as his children. And so we are shaken. If we stop long enough to think about it, we are shaken by the cost, by the price, by the value of God's gift to the world and to us. God's gift is incredibly valuable, costly, priceless. It's his son. It's his only begotten son. And the Father and the Son had agreed upon this way. They had agreed upon this provision, upon this radical loving gift. They had agreed on this from eternity. I don't understand that, but that's what we hear in the Word. This was the plan of the Father and Son for us. The prophets of old told what would happen, and today the world sings of the wonder of the gift of a loved son. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And after Jesus came bringing life abundant and eternal, one of the people that he so wonderfully, radically changed and gifted, the Apostle Paul wrote this, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Maybe those are a couple of words we could live with for the next few days. Indescribable gift. His indescribable gift. That same Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8, "God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all." And John says in 1 John 4:9, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him." God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. So I ask you and myself this morning, what does this extravagant, costly gift of God say about his love for sinners, for those that he wants to welcome into his forever family? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Just for a moment, let's think about what God's giving means for us. It means, and I guess this is really obvious, but sometimes we need to ponder the obvious, it means that we are the objects, that we are the focus of God's love. We are greatly favored by God. God so loved the world, including you and me. He is the one who loves. He's the one who loves. He's the one who gives. We are on the receiving end here. He loves us. He gives to us, and we receive. And it's for who? Who's it for? Whoever. Whoever believes. It's for whoever believes. And God's giving means that we receive light and that we receive life as we believe. So Matthew quotes from Isaiah, and he says this about the coming of Jesus. "The people living in darkness have seen a great light." We heard about light this morning in Sunday school, and we thought together about light. "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." We need light for life to continue, for life itself. Light shows us the way. Light dispels the darkness. And we live in a dreary and in a dark day. Fog and heavy darkness surround us, right? Check the news. Check the current events. Check, you know, and I don't have to roll out the list for you. You know it well. But light and life from Jesus have come into our world. The problem is that sometimes people in their sin and in their stubbornness, they prefer the dark and they try to hide from the light. They try to hide from the light. We know John 3:16. Do you know John 3:19? This is the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. All around us, we see that how that is true. All around us, we see evidence of people choosing darkness, running, hiding in the dark, suffocating in evil deeds. And if we're honest, sometimes, even in ourselves, we recognize that we recognize that at times we embrace the darkness. We seem to cuddle up to the darkness. But light has come into the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him. Will you believe that God has done this incredible thing for you? Can you believe it? Can you believe it? God has given His Son for you. Believe it. Believe Him. If we run from Him, we struggle. We struggle and we live in the dark. If we refuse to believe in Him, we die in the darkness. If we think, get this, if we think we need to do something else, if we think we need to do something more, if we think it's up to us to make it right with God, to be religious and somehow climb the ladder to heaven to make it right with God, if we think that, we wallow in the darkness. It's dark there where we play those religious games and exercises thinking that somehow we can make it with God. The Word says, he who believes, whoever believes in Him will have eternal life. Max Lucado, in his book 3:16, writes this. Can I really trust that, quote, whoever believes in Him shall not perish? Can I really trust that? Jesus' invitation seems too simple. We gravitate toward other verbs. Work has a better ring to it. Whoever works for Him shall be saved. Satisfy fits nicely. Whoever satisfies Him shall be saved. But believe? Shouldn't I do more? Shouldn't I do more than that? Here's the way. Here's the way. Here's the Word, the truth of God. Believe, receive, and live forever. Believe, receive, and live forever. John 6:28-29, then they asked Him, what must we do to do the work God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe. To believe in the one He has sent. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, as we are believing, we might think together about the many, and I think it's maybe good for us to think together about the many different experiences people had as they believed. Beginning of John 3, there's Nicodemus, you know, the religious elite who's searching these things out, and he's got a lot of questions and he can't understand all of this, and he sneaks off to go and have a one-on-one, face-to-face with Jesus at nighttime. And even as he's talking to Jesus, he's still struggling. And we might think in John chapter 4 of the woman at the well, with all of her messy living and all of her questions and her dialogue with Jesus and her confusion. Or we might find ourselves identifying with the guy who said to Jesus, "I believe, help me with my unbelief." That was his experience. Or we might appreciate Thomas, "Thanks for doubting, Thomas." Or Peter, who denied him, or the disciples who often seem really dizzy, you know, just not getting it, just believing but not getting it all put together. You see, we do well, I think, to realize that as people believe in him, they have a whole range of experiences. We don't need to set up some qualifications, some strict parameters that we think what fits what it means to believe. We just need to believe. That's the word, believe. We just need to believe. And then as we believe, as we are believing Jesus, we hear Jesus calling, and part of our belief is we hear him calling us to follow and to obey and to enjoy and to serve and to live. But we know that God is the giver, and we believe and we receive life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. John 5:24, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life." And yet once more, 1 John toward the end of the New Testament, 1 John 5, "And this is the testimony, God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Can you believe that? This is what God's giving means for us. We believe and we receive life, abundant and eternal life. In John 10:10, Jesus says that he came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And Paul writes in that great chapter, Romans chapter 8, toward the end, listen to what he says. "He who did not spare his Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things?" My goodness, what do you think's included in that? If he didn't spare his own Son, but gave him up for us, how will he not graciously give us all things? You know what? We're going to spend our lives and we're going to spend eternity understanding what that means. Not understanding, enjoying what that means. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Can you believe him? That's his invitation and his welcome and his word to you today. And he would encourage you just to say yes. Just to say yes to Jesus. Not to perform. Just, you don't have to perform. You say yes. You believe in Jesus. Believe and have eternal life. Next Sunday morning, we're going to focus on life eternal in a beautiful powerful story that we're going to share together called The Manger is Empty. And I hope that you can be here next Sunday for that. But for today and for eternity, believe in Him and have a very Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You. Thank You, Jesus, for coming here. And we believe that. We believe You. And if there's anyone here today who just needs to say, yes, Jesus, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to believe. I believe. Just may they simply say that to You today. Yes, Lord, I believe. Lord, we thank You that we have such great reason now and for all eternity to celebrate and to rejoice. Jesus, in Your holy, saving, powerful, wonderful name, we pray.